I know that you've traveled far from Perth to get here to Troy, but I wanted to ask you about what you do in Perth, because you run this incredibly interesting program called Symbiotica, which you've done for almost 20 years. And maybe you can describe it for people, because it's really an inspiring endeavor.
Yeah, that's correct. So next year is going to be our 20th anniversary. And what we established in the year 2000 was an artistic research lab that deals with life as both the medium and the subject of our explorations. So it's getting quite obvious now that to a large extent life becomes a raw material, biology becomes an engineering pursuit, and you know, scientists, engineers, and business people are using living biological systems for whatever reasons. And as artists, we're really interested in trying to figure out how our relationship to the idea of life is shifting through the model we developed is through direct engagement. So we have our own lab. So we have what's called the Level 2 Biosafety Lab, which is dedicated specifically for artistic research.
That's amazing. And you also have access to a lot of the faculty members who were there. So can you describe the school that you're in and the situation within the University of Western Australia?
Yeah, that's correct. So it is based at the University of Western Australia. We are part of a biological science department. We're not part of an art school, although now we're starting to work much, much closer with the art school. And we basically position ourselves as yet another research lab within that school, obviously doing artistic research rather than scientific research. And we had to work for many years to convince people that artistic research is valid and as valid as the scientific research in our school. We do have many relationships with quite a few different scientists from quite a few different disciplines. So within our school, we have scientists that are dealing with things like molecular biology, tissue engineering, regenerative medicine, sports science, sleep science, and evolutionary anthropology. This is just within our school, but then also our residents, our researchers can go and explore many other areas in the university. And there's this amazing openness in our university to allow them to go and do work. And this model of direct engagement means that the artists are not looking over the scientists' shoulders. They're actually learning. So they're being mentored by scientists. They're learning the techniques they need in order to develop their own works.
Yeah, so they're really getting their hands wet.
Completely wet. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. You know, it's in a unique situation that you have, and actually probably one of the first ones in the world that has led to and inspired other places, like my work at RPI, for example. But I wonder if you could describe how this happened, because, you know, it's very hard to talk your way into these kinds of spaces, and you really have set up, as you just described, the beautiful scenario, a beautiful space, but it happened because of a lot of different personalities, I think, coming together.
It did, and it happened, I suppose, also at this very specific point in time and the place. So Perth is the most isolated city or capital city in the world at the time, in particular, kind of the turn of the century. It was still very much a frontier mentality to the place, and I think that there's a sense of a frontier over here as well, so I think there's some kind of similarities. I actually started working with a scientist over there in 1996 as an artist-initiated residency. So I studied product design at the time. I was very interested in a potential future in which designers would be called upon to design living biological systems. And I decided to explore the philosophical questions that arise from that, because I'm not a solutionist, and I didn't feel that it was appropriate to start to think about products before we resolve some of the more profound kind of ethical and philosophical issues around it. And I met a scientist called Miranda Grounds. She was basically a scientist specializing in muscle regeneration. And at the very, very same time, a new field of science opened up called tissue engineering and regenerative medicine. And no one really knew where it's going. So when I came at the time a designer with this idea that I want to learn more about it, rather than throw me off the stairs, she invited me into her lab and opened up the doors for many other labs. So this model of this experiential engagement that we followed up at Symbiotica really started there.
That's great, and thank you to Miranda, right?
Yeah, right. She's our patron saint.
Absolutely. Yeah. We also have in the studio here with us today Matej Vakula. And Matej, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm very good. I'm very happy to be here with you, Kathy, and Oran.
Yay.
It's exciting.
I know that you had some questions you wanted to ask Matej as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I would just kind of connect on that, what you was just saying now. And you have interesting exhibition at Cooper Hewitt right now, opening. And that exhibition is sort of described as a design exhibition. Now, how do you see yourself as a designer or an artist, or what's the difference in biology, biodesign?
Okay, it's a great question. So first of all, we have a piece in the Cooper Hewitt Design Triennial. There's many, many other designers in the show and scientists. It's an interesting thing that because I was trained as a product designer and decided to continue my research within biology as an artist, I shift between quite a few what I refer to as social contracts. Yeah? So I work with the tools of science, trained as a designer, but much more than anything else, I'm interested in open-ended questions and in actually identifying problems rather than solutions. So I see the difference between myself calling myself an artist and a designer to the difference between utility and function. Yeah? So I'm not really interested in fixing the world through a solutionist approach. I'm interested in highlighting some of the issues that some of the notions around fixing the world might raise. And when it comes to life, I think those are very important questions. So before we can jump in and try to use life as a raw material to think about life, because there's a lot of conversation about kind of biotechnology as being the fourth industrial revolution, that we're going to fix a lot of the problems in the world by using biology. There's kind of good reasons to think like that, but there's many issues that are stemming from that I don't think are addressed enough. And as an artist, I'm much more interested in highlighting those issues than suggesting solutions. And even saying that, even when I try to do it, I often find my work being used as an example of a solution for something that I never intended to solve, but actually to highlight how problematic it is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah.
You know, you also had been describing to me another project that you've been working on that the sort of content of it really fit well into the description of Nature Lab, our interest in environmental education and also in urban environments, urban ecological environments. And so maybe you can describe that piece for us.
It was a convergence of two very interesting things that happened to me. I was invited to give a talk in a big synthetic biology meeting in Singapore. So in order to inoculate myself, I went and did a permaculture design certificate. So I was trying to find another view and another approach to dealing with life. During this certificate course, I lived for 2 weeks in a teepee in the southwest of Western Australia in a hippie community. And every evening having a shower where the hot water for the shower was actually warmed by a pile of compost. And I have a series with my collaborator in Azure and with a few other researchers at Symbiotica. We had a series of works dealing with the idea of the incubator. So I decided to combine those two things, and Yonat and myself worked together with one of Yonat's PhD students, Mike Bianco, on creating what we refer to as vessels of care and control, where we're using living biological systems to look after other living biological systems. So we basically created incubators. Mike developed an incubator that is basically based on a beehive, and the inside of the beehive is very, very different than the outside environment, so it's almost like as if it's a warm-blooded animal inside mm-hmm. the hive. The temperature is higher, the CO2 levels are higher, and you can culture cells inside the beehive. Mm-hmm. And we also developed a compost incubator where we use the heat that is being generated by compost in order to grow cells outdoors. So it's basically off-grid incubator basically using a technique that was developed by the permaculture community in order to warm up greenhouses, which is almost like an incubator, and showers, to grow fragments of living bodies using some of the cutting-edge technology of our time with very, very old idea of generating heat from rotting material.
And was this exhibited during winter somewhere?
So, yeah, it was exhibited in London. So it's currently until the 12th of May in the courtyard of the Guy's College campus in King's College, which is just opposite the London Bridge subway station. And you can see there like a pile of compost where live mouse cells are growing and seem to be doing really well.
That's fascinating. Oh, my God. Okay, thank you so much, both of you, for being here for this interview. And it's been wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.